Lessons Radio.
How's everybody doing out there in Radio Land?
So let me put on some back.
I love the way you strip the game to these young brothers and Max out there, man, and tell it how it is, how you dealing with these females.
Let me give y'all a good game. But I digress.
Sound hip-hop and R&B, putting it down, pumping on the streets and on the radio. My favorite group and a music video. There is that old school sound, make me wanna move my body, make me wanna get on down. So DJ, play my favorite song. We can do this all night long.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to a special episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. This is a free pay-per-view special episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. And today's show is brought to you by socialnetworkseduction.com. That's where you can chop up game with other players such as yourself. And today's show is also brought to you by TariqElite.com. That's where you can get the Tariq Elite aviator glasses. You can get the Tariq Elite designer sunglasses and the Risqué Elite cologne. Get your eyeglass wear on and get your smell right on. Also, everybody, today you can still get the Mac-ish package. That's going to be available today and tomorrow. So tomorrow will be the last day to get the Mac-ish package, which includes the Live in New York DVD, the Mac Lessons DVD, the Art of Mackin' book, the Art of Gold Digging book, which are both autographed, and you get the aviator glasses or the designer sunglasses. You get all that for $75. Go to maclessons.com to get all of those goodies and check out all the pay-per-view specials at maclessons.com. Now, on today's show, I want to talk about the truth about the N-word. Now, this show was going to be a pay-per-view special. I was going to charge for it, but I thought that this topic was very important, and a lot of my listeners have been very supportive with a lot of stuff that I've been doing. A lot of guys, you've been promoting and supporting the pay-per-view specials that I've had out. A lot of you players and playettes are getting the DVDs, like the Live in New York DVD is selling like hotcakes, so I really appreciate that. A lot of you have gotten the Mac-ish package, so I just wanted to give something back. I wanted to just go ahead and just do something as an appreciation, a token of appreciation to the listeners, and I wanted to give this show for free. There's going to be some very good game in this show, if I may pat myself on the back. Now, if you don't mind, let me put on some Mac-ish music real quick. There we go, because I need to get into a real Mac-ish mood for this. But I do want to talk about, again, the N-word thing. When I was on tour, and I'm still in the middle of the tour. I'm going to Australia later on this week, by the way. And I'm going to be sending postcards, so you guys hit me up about that. When I was down in Atlanta in Georgia, the whole Dr. Laura thing took off. A lot of people were talking about the whole Dr. Laura N-word rant. And a lot of people were asking me to respond, to give my opinion about the whole Dr. Laura rant. And I've been talking about this whole racial Tourette syndrome that a lot of people have been having lately. So instead of just talking about Dr. Laura, let me just talk about the whole thing about this N-word, because it's been a problem in the last couple of years. A lot of white celebrities, they've been coming out with this racial Tourette syndrome where they just have to scream out the word nigga. Again, it happened with Dog the Bounty Hunter. He had his racial Tourette's nigga moment. Happened with Kramer from Seinfeld. He had his racial Tourette's nigga moment. It happened with Mel Gibson, and I talked about that a few weeks ago. Now Dr. Laura. So it's just now, like, we never know who's next. I need to get a racial Tourette's pool, and we're going to start taking bets on who's the next celebrity or when another white celebrity is going to come out with their racial Tourette's moment. because a lot of people are having meltdowns right now because a lot of their identities are being questioned. So I wanted to really have a real meaningful dialogue about the N-word, the word nigga. Because people are so quick to analyze Black America, let's analyze ourselves and let's analyze this word and let's analyze other people in the process. Because, you know, we have all these CNN shows and all these Fox shows. And speaking of CNN, they have another Black in America special that's coming out, I think, in October. They're going to be talking about the Black church. So they always do these analytical pros on the Black community. So let's analyze ourselves. Let's analyze them in the process. Now, why are so many white people in this country risking their career in order to say the N-word? I mean, people are risking their careers, their livelihoods, in order to spew this word out. This word is extremely important for people to say. I mean, there's several arguments about it. If Blacks can say it, how come we can't say it? We've heard all the arguments. But let's look deep into the N-word. Let's look into the word nigga. Because some people, they try to tackle this subject. They've tried to do specials about it. And there was a special on TV, The History of the N-Word. And they kind of touched on certain parts. But let's look at the history of the N-Word. How did this word evolve? Where did this word come from? And that's really the N-Word. The word nigger is really the most controversial word in our society. No word has been as controversial and as up for debate as the word nigger in this country. That word is very, very powerful. It has had a lot of meaning in this country. And the reason why that word has had a lot of meaning in this country was built up on a racial myth. Now let's go back and into time a little bit. Where did this word come from? The word started in Europe. It started in Spain, Portuguese, around that area. Now the word nigger is a variation of the word negro. Negro means black. And the word was used for different things. Now, in Europe, you had a group of people, and I've talked about this group of people on my show several times. You had a group of people called the Moors. And the Moors in Europe, they were men who ushered in the Renaissance era. There were noble black men of North African ancestry. They were well-refined black men. There are several books about the Moors. One book that I recommended not too long ago, The Golden Age of the Moors. These were very thorough black men who went into Europe and really got Europe out of the Dark Ages. They brought in science. They brought in mathematics. They brought in astrology. They brought in a lot of things. They brought in a lot of civilization into Europe when Europe fell off after the fall of Rome. After Rome fell, was it around 400 AD? I think it was around 400 AD when Rome fell. Rome was taken over by a group of people called the Vandals, and they destroyed Rome, and then all of Europe fell into a dark age for about 1,000 years. Around 711 AD, the North African Moors went into southern Europe, and they really civilized everybody. They started getting the game together. Now, in around 1492, they started to expel these people called the Moors, these black folks. And it was about religion. It was a whole religious thing because the Moors, they brought in Islam. A lot of Moors who were in Europe at the time were Islamic Moors. And the term Moor doesn't just mean Muslim. There were Christian Moors. There was all types of different Moors. Moors was an all-encompassing term to describe black people at that time. Most black people were called Moors during the so-called medieval times. So, 1492, they had the Spanish Inquisition, and they had the Christians battling the Muslims. It was a whole religious war type of thing going on. So, the Christians, they got their strength together, and the Moors had taken over Southern Europe for a long time, so their power had waned a little bit, and the Christians got together and they got the Moors out of Spain. Now, around 1492, around 1500s, that's when the slave trade started cracking. So a lot of the Portuguese and the Spanish, they would gather Africans and some Moors. One of the same, basically. They would gather them up and they would get them prepared for slavery. They would enslave them and they would get them and bring them into the New World. Now, at the time, Moors were either called Moors or Blackamoors. If you look in literature from that time period, you'll see the word Moor or Blackamoor, which is the same. And they used the term Blackamoor. Blackamoor was a phrase that they would use called black as a Moor, because Moors were so black, it became an adjective. Something was black as a Moor. So they would call the Moors Blackamoors. And in the Latin Portuguese language, that's Negrito Morenos. Now, you following me? They will refer to the Blackamoors as Negrito Morenos, which means Blackamoor. Now, when the slave trade popped off, they dropped off the Morenos part. They dropped off the Moor part because they needed to objectify these people that they were enslaving. They had to take any kind of emotional disconnect. And the word Moor, it had a noble meaning to it. Because again, the Moors, the whole thing about Africans that you've been taught in history books, they miseducate you. They have you thinking that Africans were sitting up in mud huts picking flies off their asses, walking around with chains on. That's not the case. The only thing black people know about themselves is that, or they think they know about themselves, is that they were slaves. You weren't slaves in Africa. You were not slaves. You had vast empires. You had the Ghana Empire, Songhai, Mali Empire, vast empires in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa too. But again, the Moors, they were noble men. They were men of royalty to a certain degree. There were Moorish kings in Southern Europe. A lot of the castles in Europe were built by Moors. Y'all start Googling the term Moorish castles and you'll get your research on that. Again, there's a lot of books and research about this stuff. Do some research about Blackamoor jewelry. There's this very expensive jewelry that's sold throughout Europe that wealthy people get. You'll be surprised. It's beautiful jewelry pieces, brooches that's worth thousands of dollars that's being sold all over Europe. You don't hear about it over here. A lot of that stuff is kept hidden. But like I said, man, they had to take the Moreno's name off Negrito, Negro. So they just called the Moors Negro. So when they brought them over here to the States, they objectified them even more. They were just property. They had to treat them like property and just call them Negro. Which wasn't inferior. They just objectified them as property. They had to justify doing what they had to do to enslave them. Now, on another note, when the Europeans came to the Americas, there were Moors already here, African people here. And there are several books that talks about this. There's books like by Ivan Van Sertima, They Came Before Columbus. There's another book written by a Native American called Africans and Native Americans. It talked about how there were Africans here. How a lot of Jesuit priests, when they would write letters back to Spain when they were over here in the early 1500s, they would refer to Native Americans as Negroes. Look up some of those old documents, man. Some real deep stuff. And if you look at a lot of documents from the early 1500s about African people, you'll see the term Moor come up a lot. That whole nigga thing, that wasn't there yet. Again, the Negro term was used, but really they use Moor a lot. because more is your real identity. See, when a lot of the books are translated into English, the books over here, they start using the word Negro, Black, nigga, this, this, nigga, that. But really, in the old documents that they were translated from, they use more. For example, there was the one African person who is documented to be the first African to touch the continental U.S. is a person named Esteban Nico. European scholars will admit that is not true, but they would say that that's the first African person that they will admit that came to the U.S. first. They said he came here around 1527. A guy named Esteban Nico, they say he was a slave of one of the Spanish explorers. But what they don't tell you is that Esteban Nico was a Moor. He was a Moor. If you look into the research about him, he was more of a servant than a slave. And Esteban Nico, it seemed like he had some type of connections with the people that were already here. Google the term Esteban Nico the Moor and you'll get some research about that. So the point is, you had an identity, Black folks. You had a nationality. Your nationality was Moor. So when the slave trade really popped off, they had to take away the identity, the nationality of African people. And they start giving you different titles. Negro, that became the title. Black, the Blacks, or the niggas. See, that's where that term comes from. And see, the nigga, it was a variation of the word negro. So the nigga meant inferior. Calling Black folks or Moorish people Negro, that was inferior to a certain degree, but all it did was objectify African people. But the word nigga made Blacks inferior because they had to racialize slavery in the mid-1600s. So they started using all these terms, and they still use all these terms that really don't describe African people's nationality. We use terms like colored. We use terms like Black. Black is not a nationality. Colored is not a nationality. For a long time in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, they used Negro. Negro is not a nationality. Now we have this thing we call ourselves African-American. That's really not a nationality. We're not African-Americans. The term African-American was created by Jesse Jackson in the 1980s. How many of you guys knew that? We're not African-American. What's our flag? See, Americans have a flag. They have an American flag. But if we're African-Americans, that means we're outsiders, right? We don't have a nationality. And the Dred Scott decision of 1857 proved that. When Dred Scott went to the U.S. Supreme Court to try to establish his rights, and they ruled that Blacks just don't have the same rights as whites. A Black man doesn't have the same rights that a white man is bound to respect. That was what they said in the Dred Scott decision. That Black people were permanent second-class citizens. It's real deep stuff. And their legal argument, it was a valid argument because Black folks don't know what their nationality is. But if you look into old documents, you'll see that people who classified themselves as Moors, they had certain rights. They had the same rights and privileges as whites. Check out the Sundry Free Moors Act of 1790. Look that up. You can Wikipedia that. Also, I talk about that in my Live in New York DVD. When I was in New York, I went into that. I want you guys to go to maclessons.com and get the Live in New York DVD so you can hear me go real deep into that. Some real deep stuff about that. So that's one of the reasons why during slavery, they really didn't want Black folks to read, because they didn't want you to not only learn history, but they didn't want you to understand law. Because certain Black folks who would fuck around and start reading and understand law, they like, wait a minute, I'm a Moor. Let me get my rights. Damn all that nigga shit you calling me. Because if you were educated, you would know that you weren't a nigga. See, black folks, they were kept uneducated. And so whatever people told them, they internalized and they believed. When they start telling black folks they're niggas, black folks believed it. And even to this day, black folks, a lot of black folks will shun reading. They will shun knowledge. The illiteracy rate is higher now than it was around the 1900s. The illiteracy rate is higher now. There's more dumb niggas now than there were back then. Ain't that sad? Because black folks have gotten too damn comfortable. Black folks have they've internalized being a nigger. So again, like I said, man, a lot of black people or Moors, they didn't know their identity, so they were reduced to second-class citizens, objects, niggas. And see, white America's identity was based on the second-class status of black folks. Their whole identity was based on that. See, you have to understand, for years in America, white people can pretty much do anything to black people. They can openly call them nigga. You can put up signs that says no niggas here, no niggas can come here. There were several cities that had signs up saying niggas leave after dark. That's why I talked about that book, Sundown Towns. It went into how certain cities black folks couldn't be in after 6 o'clock. They would have signs up saying nigga be out this town. So they would wear that racism on their sleeve. They could openly say nigga without any kind of ramification, and not just say nigga, they can do anything to black folks. They could discriminate against black people. If you were on a train and you were tired, you can make a black person get up and they couldn't do anything. You're on the bus, you're tired, you can make a black person get up. That was the whole Rosa Parks thing. You could do anything to a black person. You can literally kill a black person and many times get away with it. That's what the whole lynching was about. You can lynch a person and get away with it. Not only you could kill him, hell, you can kill him and then take a picture next to him and send the picture as a postcard. And I'm not even exaggerating. You guys know that's how they got down. Check out this website. It's called withoutsanctuary.com. There's a website called withoutsanctuary.com. It shows old postcards of lynchings that people used to send to each other. They would kill black folks, lynch them, and take pictures and then send them all around the country. It's real deep stuff. They could get away with anything. And you know what? To a certain degree, sometimes they get away with it now. They get away with that now. You have cops that's killing black folks and they get slaps on the wrist. So again, that whole identity of white America, for the most part, and again, this isn't all, because all white people don't have that mentality, but a lot of whites in this country have the privilege to pretty much do anything they want when it came to black folks, and black people had to be on their P's and Q's. Black people couldn't do anything to whites, legally and socially. See, that's what that whole Kramer thing was about. Y'all know when Kramer had his little meltdown? See, you weren't, back then, you weren't supposed to challenge whites at all. And with Kramer, when he was doing his little comedy thing, he was bombing, and it was some brothers challenging him. They were heckling him. And when he found out it was black people heckling him, he was like, he went into this regressive, racist state. He got into some lynch shit. Let me play a clip of what Kramer said so you can feel what he said. Because he got off into some real crazy stuff about lynching and the pitchfork. Take a good listen to Kramer.
Shut up! 50 years ago, they had you upside down with a fucking fork up your ass!
He said, 50 years ago, we would have you upside down with a fucking fork up your ass.
You can talk your brain now, motherfucker! Roll his ass out, he's a nigger! He's a nigger! He's a nigger!
Oh my god.
A nigger, look, he's a nigger!
Okay, so you guys, you've heard that before, so you get the point. But again, he got into talking about some lynching, and 50 years ago, you'd be upside down with a fork up your ass. So again, he knows the deal. You know, they get that regressive thing going on. You know, back in the good old days where, you know, black folks couldn't challenge whites at all. And really, that was what white meant. You can do anything. You had all the privileges when it came to people of color. And people of color didn't have any rights. They didn't have any privileges. That gave a lot of white citizens a superiority complex. It made them feel better about themselves knowing that they had a leg up on this group of people. That's what really America was based on. Now, a lot of countries in Europe weren't based on that. A lot of people were peasants in their home countries. A lot of people were starving in their home country. So they come over here, you get free land, and you get a lot of benefits that you wouldn't get in a million years in your home country, in Ireland or certain parts of Italy and Russia. You come over here, all of a sudden you're superior than somebody. That was a great feeling, and a lot of people who weren't used to power, they took advantage of that. And that's why a lot of people are sick with that racism now. That racism is really a sickness. And we, as a society, don't like to talk about it effectively because the powers that be don't want to talk about it effectively. We keep having these dumbass shows about Black in America this. I mean, I challenge them to do a White in America. They won't do a White in America show in a million years because you'll start getting some real answers. I talked about that a few years ago. Oh, well, not a few years ago, but a few weeks ago on the podcast. But anyway, about this whole N-word thing, after the Civil Rights Movement, after that happened in the 1960s, you couldn't legally discriminate against black people, and you couldn't legally kill black folks no more. Because, you know, when black folks are doing these nonviolent rallies and you got white folks out here with sicking dogs on them and beating them with sticks and all, that wasn't a good look internationally. The United States was going to lose a lot of clout with those images going around the world. The people around the world was looking at the U.S. like, wow, this is how you do your people? You call them niggas and you beat them and you sick dogs on innocent people with no guns? That's how you get down and you want to trade and do business with us? So they had to clean their act up a little bit. So they had to throw or act like they were throwing black people a bone. They're like, okay, we're not going to call you nigga publicly no more. We'll keep that word out of the public limelight. We're going to still call you nigga when the cameras are off. But we won't openly discriminate against you. So they backed off a little bit. Now, saying nigga was publicly looked down upon, but the word didn't go anywhere at all. And the thing is, black people, we've taken that word and we trivialize the word. See, that's one of the reasons why black people use it. Black people, we get the word and we strip the venom out of it. We take the inferiority out of it. And we make the word a non sequitur. We trivialize the word. And see, that's one of the problems. Because the fact that we trivialize the word that a lot of people, a lot of whites, hold so near and dear. The nigger word, the N-word, has always been their trump card. Because if you notice, back in the day, like if you would argue with a white person, and if you get them backed into a corner, they're like, oh yeah, well you're a nigger. And they still do that. They do it over the phone. Or they'll do it over the phone or they'll do it on the internet. If you notice, you go to any message board or any YouTube video, and if there's some black person on there and something racial on there, there's a bunch of white people on there like, look at this, nigga this, nigga that, nigga this, nigga this, nigga that. It's nigger fest. They having a nigger field day online. So they still use the word. But that's their word, and we took their word and we trivialized it. And it's almost like, how dare you trivialize our word? That's our trump card. And another thing, they hate that the word is socially acceptable for blacks to use, but they cannot use it. And that's what the whole Dr. Laura thing was about. I want you guys to really, really pay attention to the whole Dr. Laura rant. Let me play that very quickly. Real quickly, hold on.
I'm black and he's white. We've been around some of his friends and family members who start make racist comments as if I'm not there or if I'm not black. And my husband ignores those comments and it hurts my feelings. And then he just acts like he
Can you give me an example of a racist comment? Because sometimes people are hypersensitive. So tell me what's... Give me two good examples of racist comments.
Okay, last night, good example. We had a neighbor come over, and this neighbor, when every time he comes over, it's always a black comment. It's, oh, well, how do you black people like doing this, and do black people really like doing that? And for a long time, I would ignore it. But last night, I got to the point...
I don't think that's racist.
I think that's, well, listen,
without giving much thought, a lot of blacks voted for Obama simply because he was half black.
Now, where did that come from? I mean, she just dug that all out her ass. She just pulled that so far out of her ass. That had nothing to do with what the conversation was about.
What he was going to do in office, it was a black thing. You got to know that. That's not a surprise. Not everything that somebody says, we had friends over.
Yeah, a lot of white folks will pull out some old shit that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. You know, you ever had a conversation with somebody white and they're like, they'll bring up OJ. Yeah, you know what, affirmative, oh, what about OJ? I'm like, nigga, OJ happened 15 years ago. What you talking about?
The other day, got about 35 people here. The guys were going to start playing basketball. I was going to go out and play basketball. My bodyguard and my dear friend is a black man. And I said, white men can't jump. I want you on my team. That was racist? That was funny.
How about the N-word, though? The N-word's been thrown around.
Black guys use it all the time. Turn on HBO, listen to a black comic, and all you hear is nigger, nigger, nigger. I don't get it. If anybody without enough melanin says it, it's a horrible thing.
Whoopsie. Ooh, without enough melanin. Hold on.
When black people say it, it's affectionate. It's very confusing. Don't hang up. I want to talk to you some more.
Confusing.
Don't go away.
It's
I'm
not
Dr.
confusing.
Boris Lessinger. I'll be right.
I'm going to have to touch on that whole melanin thing, too. I'm going to do a show about the whole melanin thing, because that was some slick shit she said, too. A lot of y'all probably missed that, whole melanin thing. I'm going to get on that on another show. But she thought she was slick. Dr. Laura thought she was slick. She was had that arrogance, that white privilege swag, like I should be able to say and do anything I want. And she thought she was going to be slick and slip the word in there, say it just to be slick. She knew exactly what she was doing, and her ass got called out and caught. We got your ass, Dr. Laura. You didn't get away with it. See, that whole argument about how come we can't say it, it's very confusing. It's not confusing. They know exactly what the deal is about that word. Black folks, if white people ever ask you about that, how come you guys can say it and we can't say it, just ask them, why do you want to say it so bad? Just ask them that. Why do you want to say that word so bad? Why is it so imperative that you say that word? See, the thing is, white supremacy, in their mind, that's more important than money. That's why they'll risk their career in order to get a sense of white supremacy, because they don't like being told, a lot of whites don't like being told what they can't do by a black person, because that questions their identity. Remember, being white means you can do anything you want to damn do when it pertains to black folks, and black folks can't do shit to you. That's what it means to be white in this country. So when you have white people basically being told in so many ways that you can't say a word and black folks can say it, that messes with their identity. Again, it's a white privilege thing. They want the privilege of being able to say it. That's why they'll throw their careers away. White privilege is more important than money. That's why a lot of white folks have a problem with Barack Obama. Barack Obama, if he went on TV and said, you know what, I got jobs for every white person in this country. Tomorrow you can work and you go to work, you won't be unemployed. Some white people will be like, oh, that's cool, but I don't want it because you're a Muslim. They'll be on that shit, and they are on that shit. They'll hold out in order to maintain white supremacy. But black folks, you know, black folks don't give a shit about no black nationalism, none of that shit. Black folks will sell you out at the drop of a hat. The black folks get enough money, you pay a black person, they'll disown everything black.
But the thing is, the reason why Dr. Laura and a lot of people, the reason why they whine about how blacks use the N-word and how whites cannot use it, because the N-word, saying the word nigga, and I want you to follow me, people, saying the word nigga is really the only thing that black people can do in this country that white people can't, from a social standpoint. Do you understand that? Think about what I'm saying. That's really the only thing that black people can do that whites cannot, from a social standpoint now. That's it. And they're mad about that. White people can do anything. White people, you can live anywhere you want to live. Black folks can't. You can drive anywhere you want to drive. Black folks can't, because legally you can get pulled over and fucked with by the cops. But really, from a legal standpoint, you can say it. But from a social standpoint, white people can't say the N-word, because black folks, if we got on, we can go out on the street corner and just yell nigga, nigga, nigga all day, and it's cool. If a white person gets on the street corner and yells nigga, 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 most likely they get their asses whooped. Or if they say it at their job, they might get fired. So it's socially unacceptable. But legally, they can say it. That's why a lot of whites try to fall back on that First Amendment, like Dr. Laura. Dr. Laura got on that First Amendment thing. Well, my First Amendment rights, and I got freedom of speech. And she was on Twitter with Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin is trying to support her now, and they're trying to use this whole freedom of speech thing, because these people are hell-bent on being able to use that word, just because black people can socially get away with using it. That's all that's about. It's some real deep stuff. And again, now some people might say, well, black people get affirmative action. Please don't go there. Because affirmative action in this country, it benefits white women more than anybody. And when it benefits white women, that means it benefits the white family, because white women get those benefits and take the benefits home to the husband and the kids. So it benefits white people more than black folks. So please don't use affirmative action. There has never been anything, any law in this country that would disenfranchise blacks for the benefit of whites. Never. So a lot of people try to use this whole reverse racism thing when it comes to the N-word. I mean, people try to make it this big political thing. That's what the whole Dr. Laura thing is. And the whole Imus thing became a whole thing about reverse racism. There is no reverse racism. There's no reverse racism at all. Whites are not being disenfranchised because they can't use the N-word. Racism is when one particular group is being disenfranchised and the other group is benefiting or getting privileges from the disenfranchisement of the other group, based on the disenfranchisement of the other group. So legally, white people have never been disenfranchised in this country for the benefit of black folks. Black people, we've never got any kind of special rights or privileges at the detriment of whites, ever. There's never been any laws that benefit whites or that benefited blacks and detrimented whites, never. But it's been the other way around. There have been laws specifically against black folks. Black people could not drink from certain water fountains legally. Black people couldn't live in certain neighborhoods legally. Black people couldn't go to certain restaurants or schools legally. Black people couldn't work at certain jobs legally. So please don't try to compare that to you not being able to say the damn N-word, because I have no sympathy for you on that bullshit. And it's a cop-out. Again, blacks have been legally forbidden to do things. And these things, the things that black people have been forbidden to do, these laws that were set up to disenfranchise black people in particular, the ramifications of those laws are still effective to this day. They're still affecting the black community. A lot of those laws are still affecting the black community in a negative way. So don't whine to me about no damn N-word. No, you can't say no goddamn N-word. And again, why do you want to say it so bad? Now, I know there's some house niggas out there who will say, well, if we say it, we shouldn't get mad at whites. Shut up, niggas. When niggas say that, that sounds like those old conservative Republican niggas who say stuff like that. Well, we shouldn't say it. We shouldn't get mad if they say it. Nigga, shut your ass up. Talking that Uncle Tom shit, nigga. Give this nigga a banjo. When they start talking that, here, nigga, get a banjo and start buck dancing. There you go, nigga. Go, nigga, go, nigga, go, nigga, go, nigga, go, nigga. Dance for Massa, nigga. There you go. Cut a rug for Massa. Go, 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 go. Maybe Massa fix you a bowl of grits. Keep buck dancing. Anyway, I digress. Put my Mackin music back on. But anyway, that whole reverse racism, kill that. Because truth be told, a lot of white folks in this country, they couldn't take no real reverse racism. Let's keep it 100. Some real reverse racism, you couldn't take it at all. You will know when some real reverse racism came into play. There's this woman named Jane Elliott. She's an older white lady. Jane Elliott is the truth. Jane Elliott, she does these tests. And she would do them in the 1960s, and she still does them. I think she's still alive. I'm not sure. But she does this thing called the blue eye test. She would do them in the 60s and 70s. Back then, she would do it with students in a classroom. She would get white students and divide them up in groups and call one group the blue-eyed group and the other group the brown-eyed group. And she would discriminate against a certain group in the class. Like, she would set one group into the corner. She would give treats and goodies to one group and discriminate against the other group. And this went on for about an hour, but it would emotionally traumatize these kids. It would mess with these kids psychologically. And what she would do in the 90s, she did these same tests, but she would do them on adults. And you can see some of the tests on YouTube. You can YouTube Jane Elliott. She would do these tests. I think a lot of corporations would hire her to teach racial tolerance to certain groups and certain employees. And she would get these adult white people, put them in the room and do the same test, the blue eye test, put them in certain groups and pair them up and separate them from other people. And after about an hour or so, because the test would last for about an hour or two, there would be grown ass people in the room crying. Because they were being discriminated against, and they just couldn't take being discriminated against based on color. They would be assigned different colors, and they would be discriminated against. So certain groups would get cookies and food, and she would break these people down. They'd be crying like babies within an hour. And she would look at them, and her dissertation would be like, look at you. You can't take discrimination for an hour. So just imagine how a whole group of people have to deal with this stuff every single day. Just imagine how they feel. It's real powerful stuff, and you have to see that. But again, a lot of whites, you couldn't take no real reverse racism. People are whining about the N-word, something that ain't even, it has no legal ramifications, really. Except in the workplace, you can't discriminate against a person at a job. But a lot of people can't take no real reverse racism. So I wish people stopped trying to use the reverse racism card, because there has to be power behind that. And there's no power. Black African American people, Moors in this country, don't really have that kind of power to assert any kind of reverse racism. And even if people did, the Moorish community had that kind of power, I don't think they would do it, because we're not really on that shit. And another interesting thing about the whole Dr. Laura thing, there's another element to it that's very interesting. The thing is, it was a black woman who called up Dr. Laura talking about dealing with her white husband. And that's a whole different thing within itself. And I'm going to have to talk about that on another show, because that's another thing I can tell that Dr. Laura didn't like. See, a lot of white women don't like that either. That's like a white woman who's dating a black athlete calling up a black woman trying to get advice on how to deal with her black man. A lot of sisters ain't gonna like that. And truth be told, a lot of white women don't like that too, especially older white women. You got this negress with a white dude, and you're calling up a white woman trying to get advice about how to deal with a white man. So that's a whole different thing right there. That's a whole different subject, because if you keep listening to the whole Dr. Laura rant, she was like, well, you shouldn't be in an interracial relationship anyway if you're going to be that sensitive. So it got into some other stuff, and I'm going to have to tackle that on another show. But anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Don't forget, everybody, go to MacLessons.com to check out some of the other pay-per-view specials. Go to MacLessonsRadio.com, and also you can subscribe to this show on iTunes. You guys get the show on iTunes absolutely free every week. So go to iTunes and subscribe. Hit me up at Facebook.com/TariqElite. Follow me on Twitter, Twitter.com/TariqNasheed. Don't forget to go to MacLessons.com and get the Tariq Elite Live in New York DVD. I have my Atlanta Live in Atlanta DVD coming out in a couple of weeks. A lot of people have been asking about that. Again, I'm going to be in Australia this week doing some private coaching. All my Australian players, if you want some private coaching, hit me up with the email at info@TariqElite.com. Thank everybody for listening. I'll at you next week. Peace.